look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel, if you don't have a Bible, I know in the back sections there's what we call pew Bibles there. And you should be able to look. It's in the Old Testament. We call it the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to be looking at, I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll come back to it. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." All right, it says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." A few years ago, there was a study done, and this was a number of years, I would say a couple of decades ago, and they did a study as far as soul winning and seeing folks saved. And this is what they estimated once they did the study and they got the stats back. They estimated that it took 1,000 lay people and 6 preachers 1 year to lead one person to Christ. Now think about that. 1,000 lay people, 6 preachers to lead one person to Christ. And I don't know how they came up with all those stats. I don't know if they took the sum total of all the people that have gone to church, and then they took the preachers there, and then they took the number of conversions through a year. That may be how they got it, but that just astounded me. It was also estimated that 95% of Christians never led someone to the Lord. 95%. 95% never led anybody to the Lord. So that means that only 5% had ever done that. Now, I don't know if that number would, how much it would expand if they were saying how many people were handed a tract. But I know this. I have knocked on doors for years and years and years. I have lived here for 26, 27 years. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. And as a Christian there, I was saved at 8 years old. And so all those years living there for, let's say it's just 10 years and different houses that I can remember there in Cleveland, Ohio. I know this, in Cleveland, I never remember anybody coming up to my house asking about if I accepted Jesus Christ. Never. Okay, here in Chesterton, I live right down the road here, and I've lived there for close to 20 years. I think it's 19 years. I think I remember one person, and it was a cult that came up and was trying to give me information about Christ. I know that on an airplane, I've been in town, I've been all kinds of places on vacation. I have never, all right, never, as an adult, had anybody hand me a tract. Ever. I've never had anybody hand me a tract. All right, so think about that. All right, here we have, what is it, 350 million people in America? And, so, you know, if you would take a poll today, I mean, almost everybody's saved. Almost everybody's saved. And yet, we got a serious problem. Because I've lived in America all my life. And I have never had anybody care enough to even ask, are you saved? Maybe you're sitting here and you say, you know what, that'd just be kind of rude. Well, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to consider this idea. Would it be rude to stop somebody from falling off a cliff? Would it be rude? Now, they may think it's rude, and they may say, what are you trying to do? But I'm pretty sure after they would, maybe you just let them experience it. Throw them off, all right, and then have a rope on them, and after that, like, ah! All right, and then pull them back up. Like, you know what? You can be rude all you want because you're saving my life. What's amazing to me is that here in America, supposedly a Christian nation, and I don't necessarily call it Christian anymore, I think we're a pagan nation. Right? We're a pagan nation. Because even this weekend, I guarantee you that there are lots of Christians that are vacationing this weekend. You know why? It's my last chance. Right? You know it. It's my last chance. You know what? The summer's almost ended. And man, I get a longer weekend, so I'm just going to take this weekend and skip out of church. I'm not going to invite anybody out because you know what? Somebody else can do it. And that is the state of America today. We are apathetic towards souls. We are apathetic towards bringing folks the gospel. In every church, one man wrote it this way, in every church, in every clime, when there's some work to do, it's very likely will be done by just the faithful few. While many folks will help to sing and some of them will talk, and when it comes down to doing things, a lot of them will balk. We can't do this, we can't do that, excuse us please this time. We'd be so glad to help you out, but it's just not in our line. So when the leaders cast about to find someone who'll do, although he's done it off before, he asked the faithful few. Of course they're busy, very busy too, and always hard at work, but well, he knows they'll not refuse nor any duty shirk. They never stop to make excuse, but promptly try to do the very best they can to smooth the way for you. God bless, I pray, the faithful few, and may their tribe increase. They must be very precious to the blessed Prince of Peace. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this morning as we look at this passage. Give us wisdom, give us guidance. As always, Lord, I ask you to do what I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go in our passage here, Ezekiel chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. Look at the context. Notice here, and I think it's interesting. I never thought of the Bible as being something good to eat. Look at what it says in Ezekiel chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. Now you're like, wow, what kind? All right. Eat this roll and then go speak unto the house of Israel. Now notice what it says. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it. And notice what it says. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. So let me give you some of the context, and it's a visual thing for us, and this helps us in the idea of soul winning. Because you sitting here, you say, you know what, I'm not sure of what I'm supposed to say. I'm not sure of how I'm supposed to go out and share Christ with folks. Well, Ezekiel is giving us a picture. What does he say? God said, eat the roll. Now the roll was a scroll there. It was words of God that God had given him. And so he was telling Ezekiel in a picture, eat the roll. And then he said, you know what? I'm not sure I should eat this. And I don't know if I should salt it or butter it. But God said, I want you to eat it. And this is a visual picture for us. Because then after he ate it, he said, man, that was good. And then God said, now you know what to give them because I gave you something to tell them. Now, this is for you and I, and it's a visual picture because you say, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say? Get the roll, the book of God, and partake of it. Be in it every day you can. Study it. Know the Bible inside and out. And then guess what you can do? When you're out there, you're going to know what to say. Because you know what you'll find? This word is sweetness to the soul. It's good for you. And then you're going to have some words to say. Why? Because it's inside you. It's God's word. We're not supposed to just go out there and just kind of, hey, you know, I'm just going to shoot the breeze with this guy. Hey, how's it going? Love your plants, guy. Ooh, look at them pants. Yeah, I like them pants. Oh, look at that. Hey, have you watched this movie? That's not what I'm supposed to be witnessing about. That's not what God wants me to talk about with my neighbors and when I'm going out there and sharing Christ. Who cares about a movie? Who cares about some musician? Who cares about this or that that's going on in this world? What God cares about is the gospel. And that's what we're supposed to be sharing. Share the words of God. Your words are not guaranteed to get somebody anywhere. But God's word, He says it won't return void. God's word are empowered. God's word has the Holy Spirit behind it. My words, they have nothing behind it. Your words don't have anything behind it. So guess what I should do? I need to get in the book. And that's why even I brought a couple of them up here. Right, we have tracks. We have tracks out back. We have a track rack down at the down by the front desk. All right, now, you'd say, well, I mean, is somebody going to get saved by a tract? Not always. All right, they're not always. But, you know, I do know folks that got saved by reading a tract. But also, you know what this has on it? It has our church info. And maybe it'll spark some interest and they'll come to church. Maybe it'll spark some interest and they'll get on our website. Maybe it'll spark some interest and they'll give us a phone call. That happened recently. There's a lady that's dying of cancer and somebody called and said, hey, we'd like someone to go visit. And guess what? We'll do whatever we can. If someone calls and wants us to go tell them about Christ, that's a good day. Yeah, we'll go do that. So, you don't have to know all about the Bible. We try to help you out. We try to get information into your hands. And there's places, I've told the Fisherman's Club, you can look up, I think it's the Pocket Testament League. All right, Pocket Testament, PTL.com or .org. All right, the Pocket Testament League will give you free Gospel of Johns and deliver them to your house so that you can just give them out. Just give them the Bible then. You say, what am I supposed to do? Give them God's Word. Give them God's Word. You can go down to Dollar Tree. I was looking yesterday online. And at Dollar Tree, if you really are concerned about, man, I just want to give them the whole Bible, you can go to Dollar Tree and order a case of Bibles, $1 a piece. $1 a piece. You'd say, oh, what a sacrifice. Oh, baloney on that, because I guarantee you spent 10 bucks probably a couple times this past week. On your own sustenance. On just getting yourself some more fatty acids. Say, oh, I don't know about spending a dollar to save a soul. It's worth it. There's lots of things we can do. So here we see in the context that God gives him some words to say to these folks. But then go down to verse 16 and it says, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days. So here's 7 days. He's contemplating this. He's thinking about this. And then in verse 17, Son of Man, I've made thee a watchman. What did he make him a watchman? Making him watchman unto the house of Israel. Look at verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Notice what he says, though. But his blood will I require at thine hand. So I gave you the word of God. I've given you a commission to do. And I'm making you a watchman. And not to somebody you don't know, but to your own people. And warn them, because judgment's coming. And if you don't warn them, their blood is on your hand. On your hand. Look at verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. Notice, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I want to ask you this morning a question. Are you at your post? Are you at your post? I see two applications. The first application of this is to me as a preacher. You know what God has made me? A watchman. I'm a watchman over this church. That's according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 and verse 7. You can go in different places, but the Bible has made me a watchman. And so I stand up and I say, hey, watch out! A watchman, if you study this time era, you go back many years ago, this is thousands of years ago, they would have these walled cities. Most of us know about the walled cities. Right? These thick walled cities. You could go to Jericho and think of Jericho. Jericho was that's why Joshua is like, man, we're going to have to send spies in there, and that's the first city we're supposed to take. Because Jericho had very thick walled cities. It is estimated, those that have studied archaeology, they say that Jericho may have been, the walls may have been up to 12 feet thick. They say possibly two chariots on top of the walls could ride side by side together. So, you know, they were into the walls, into very thick walls. Then normally, somewhere in this city, they would have a higher section, they would build it up, and then they would put towers up there, and watchmen would be up in those towers. Now the watchmen, guess what their job was? It's kind of in the name, just so you know. Just a clue. Anybody know? Oh, watch! Yeah, they were not looking at your clock. All right, they were watchmen. They were out there looking out. And then, if they saw something, they were equipped with bugles, or they were equipped with trumpets, and they would blow that trumpet. Different types of trumpet sounds would warn the people that, hey, somebody is coming near. So I see two applications. One application is to me as a pastor. Guess what my job is? I'm a watchman. I'm set up, and I'm on this tower, and I'm looking out, and sometimes I see an enemy out there, and he's approaching, and I'm going to come to you as a dad. I'm going to come to you as a mom. I'm going to come to you as a young person and say, hey, the enemy's approaching. You may not see it, but that's my job. My job is a watchman. Now, guess what? A watchman may not be appreciated all the time, because if he does his job right, you're never attacked. And you say, why is he there then? Because he's doing a good job at it. And so guess what? As a pastor, my job as a watchman is to look out. And when the enemy is approaching, you may not see him. Why? Because you're down in the city. You're doing your daily business. You're going along with everything the way it's just supposed to go. But I'm on the wall. And my job is to watch out. And when the enemy is approaching, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to warn you. Now, you may say, you know what? I just don't like the way the trumpet sounds today. You know, it's sounding a little off. I think I heard the notes crack. Well, the music notes is not the important thing, so we're not teaching on music here. All right? I'm not saying you can have bad music, all right? Some of you are like, yeah. I heard it. But the watchman up there, the quality of the bugle sound is not his priority. His priority is to be yelling out and saying, hey, somebody's coming to attack your house. Be ready. And you may be asleep. You may be resting there in your lazy boy. You may be lounging. And now, I don't know what it would be in your blow-up. Now they have these big blow-up things. Or maybe it's a beanbag. All right, you get a huge beanbag, or you got a hammock there, and you're just enjoying it. And you're saying, why are you interrupting me? Because the enemy's coming. That's the job of the watchman. But then, so I see two applications. I see an application to a preacher. All right, and the prophet, and again, I always tell you this. In the Old Testament, we have prophets. We do not have prophets in the New Testament. If somebody is saying that they're a prophet, I'm sorry. That office is no longer around. And I believe I can show it to you biblically. So if somebody is saying they're a prophet and they are a seer, watch out for them. All right, that office is no longer here. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible tells us even tongues. All right, tongues was used. And the Bible says that's the book of Corinthians. When that which is in part is done or complete. Guess what? The Bible was in part during the Acts of the Apostles. That's why some people will go. There was a man talking to me, and he has a relative that's very caught up in the Pentecostal movement. And he's saying, wait a minute, in the book of Acts, they were speaking in tongues, and they were doing this, and they were healing people. If you read the book of Acts, and you read Corinthians, and you read it in context, what you'll see is God gave them those special signs because they did not have this. All right, so where in the book? I mean, just so you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not written in the book of Acts. It might have been started, it may have been worked on, but the book of Acts, it wasn't there yet. And so these people were given special signs, special things that they could do. Why? Because it was drawing them to the gospel. But that's done. Okay, so what is a watchman supposed to do? A watchman is a pastor. That's one application. But then, this is my challenge to you. The layman as a watchman. The layman as a watchman. And I want to draw an application, and I want you to think it through. Are you at your post? So what is a watchman supposed to do? First of all, he must be observant. He must be observant. He must see himself as a saved person. He must see himself as a servant of God. He must see the sad condition of the unbelievers. And he must watch. You must be observant. You will not lead other people to the Lord if you're not looking around your neighborhood, looking around your workplace, going out and seeing folks that are dying and going to hell. You will never be a good watchman if you're not observant. You're saying there's nobody that's near you that is unsaved. You know that's a ridiculous statement. There are thousands of people just in Northwest Indiana that need Jesus Christ. Be observant. Be a watchman. Get them the gospel. Get them to church. Be a good watchman. The watchman must watch. Then a watchman must listen. Look at verse 10. All right, look at verse 10 in our text. Moreover, he said unto him, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and then go get thee to them of the captivity. A watchman must listen. What do we mean by listen? You must listen to the word of God. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You listen to the request for spiritual testimony of those around you. We need to be listening. Listening to the word of God and listening to those around you. Be observant and be hearing. Do you know that when a coworker says, man, I'm having a tough time in my marriage, or I'm having a tough time, this relative, they went into the doctor and they said cancer, or they said you don't have long to live. Listen! That's an opportunity. Share Christ with them. Hey, you know what? I know it's a tough time. But I have found that Jesus Christ gives me real peace at this time. Really? Who's that? Listen! Open up your ears! Open up your ears to the Word of God. Open up your heart to the nudging of the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will say, hey, just go hand them a tract. You say, well, you know what? I don't think they're going to get saved. Just like George said, it doesn't matter if they get saved right then. If you follow the leading and the nudging of the Holy Spirit, you did your job. I was listening this week to a pastor, and a pastor right out of college, he went to a city, and he was pastoring, and And his wife had to stay home and watch the kids most of the time during the day while he went off to church, and he would work at church and he would study and do different things. Well, one of the families had children. And so the children came over. Well, the wife, you know what? Listening and watching. The kids would come in and kind of developed a little relationship, and she would have cookies for them and they would play together. And eventually it got around, and so she told them about Jesus Christ, the little kids. She was playing with, the boy was playing with her boy, and so she said, "Hey, we go to church. My husband's a pastor," and started talking about Jesus. The boy went home, and pretty soon, the boy went over to try to get the boy to come out to play, and they were like, nope, and it was very distant, it was very cold. The mom went over and like, you know what? We didn't appreciate you talking to our boy about Jesus. You know, that's kind of a family thing here. Became strained. And they kind of parted ways. The pastor, he pastored, and the pastor's wife, she was there, and the boy, they tried to do what they could. God led the pastor to another place, and another man took the church. A few years later, the man that took the church wrote this pastor that had moved. And it was about that family. He said, "You're never going to believe it." The mom came to church one day. Maybe it was a special week or something like that. The mom came to church and got saved. And the family got saved. They were baptized. They joined the church. And the mom said that the pastor's wife, witnessing, had nagged at her for years. You never know. It isn't just that, oh, they didn't get saved right now. You did your job as a watchman if you called out. Because a watchman watches. A watchman listens. And a watchman, did you notice also what he does? He doesn't just watch and he doesn't just listen. What does a watchman also do? He speaks. He speaks. You need to open your mouth and tell others. And we speak by the life we live. We speak by deeds. But we speak by using our voice. So I ask you, are you at your post of duty? In history, you can read stories. I was looking up this week of different stories. You can read of men that left their post and tragedy occurred. Most of you that read military stories, there are countless ones that left their post. But there's not too many things written of the man who just does his duty. Because you know what? Nothing bad happens. Why? We don't read about all those thousands and thousands and thousands of men that they just did their duty, and they were at their sentry and they were faithful to their sentry work and they were there and nothing bad happened. You know what? I like that. And you like that. I'm happy as an American. Hey, even as crazy and as nutty as it is, I can walk out my door. All right, I'm going to reveal this to you. All right, most of the times, okay, my cars are unlocked and the keys in them. Yep. I don't even think about it. That's most of the majority of the time. And I walk around the property and I'm not aware. I'm not like the verse, you know, be sober, be vigilant because you're walking on Fairhaven property. All right. It's not, I'm just walking around looking. All right. Where are they at? I'm glad that I live in a country that even as nutty as it is, we believe in sentries. We believe in watchmen to watch out for our physical safety. So I'm not always on edge like, oh, what was that? I'm in the middle, I'm at Kmart or I'm pulling into Wendy's or something. I hear a car backfire and I'm slamming into something. I'm on the ground. Why? Because you know what? Many, many hundreds of years ago, we had people that believed that being forewarned, being prepared, having sentries, having watchmen, makes it safe back home. But you know what? In the spiritual life, we have to do the same thing. There are folks out there, and there is a raging spiritual war going on. It's brutal. I can tell you that. I'm with Pastor, over the last couple weeks, I've spent a few days with Pastor Lewis. There, and for those of you that don't know, we helped start a church 8.5 years ago in Hyde Park, Chicago. And in Hyde Park, Chicago, you know, so far this year, there's been, not just in Hyde Park, but in Chicago, there's been over 2,000 deaths. You don't even hear about it. 2,000 deaths. So on July 4th weekend, you know where he's at? He's here at Fairhaven. He wants his people here. He has a picnic here. You know why? Because last year, just on, he said, I don't want one of my members dead. And so he comes here. But you know, that's physical bullets and that's physical harm. But spiritually, I believe the war is worse. The war is much worse. And the devil is just taking pot shots at people and shooting his flaming arrows and sending people into eternity forever. And as a watchman, it's your job, it's my job to be at my post and say, hey, wait a minute. There's Jesus. He died for you. Now, they may get mad because they don't see the danger. Because guess what? I'm a watchman up high. And they may say, just leave me alone. But I still should be at my post doing my task, doing my duty, giving out tracts. And we're coming up to a few weeks where every Sunday morning we're preaching about Jesus, the hope of glory. Why not get them to church? Why not get them a tract? Why not get them a Gospel of John? Get them something. Be at your post. We close with a silly scenario. Those of you that are fishermen, you'll like it. Now, it came to pass that a group existed that called themselves fishermen. Lo, there were many fish in the waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish. And the fish were hungry. Week after week, month after month, and year after year, these who called themselves by the word fishermen met in meetings and talked about their calling to be fishermen. They talked about the abundance of fish and how they might go about to go fishing. Year after year, they carefully defined what fishing means. They defended fishing as an occupation. They declared that fishing is always to be a primary task of a fisherman. Continually, they searched for new and better methods of fishing. They fought and they looked and they worked at better definitions of the word fishing. Further, they said the fishing industry exists by fishing as fire exists by burning. So theologically, and as they thought mentally, they came up with unbelievable thoughts. They loved slogans such as, fishing is the task of every fisherman. They sponsored special meetings called fishermen's campaigns. And they sponsored months called the month for the fishermen to fish. The sponsored cost nationwide a lot of money. They developed worldwide congresses to discuss fishing and to promote fishing and hear about all the ways of fishing, such as new fishing equipment, fish calls, and whether any new bait had been discovered. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings, and they called them fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman, and every fisherman should fish. But one thing they forgot to do. They forgot to fish. In addition to meeting regularly, they organized a board to send out fishermen to other places where there were many fish. The board hired staffs and appointed committees, and they held meetings to define fishing. And they held the meetings to defend fishing and to decide what new streams could be thought about. But the staff and committee, guess what they never did? They never fished. Large, elaborate, and expensive training centers were built whose origin and primary purpose was to teach fishermen how to fish, the nature of fish, and where to find the fish. They even called in psychologists and they studied the psychological reactions of fish. How to approach the fish properly so that you wouldn't offend the fish. And what should you feed the fish so that they would be all in the same area so that you could gather the fish properly. They taught fishing year after year. After tedious training, many were graduated and they were given fishing licenses. They were sent to be full-time fishermen in some distant waters which were filled with fish. Many who felt the call to be fishermen responded. They were commissioned and sent out in special ordination services to be fishers. Well, fishermen. But like the fishermen back home, they engaged in all kinds of other occupations. They built power plants to pump water for fish and tractors to plow new waterways. They made all kinds of equipment to travel here and to there to look at fish hatcheries. But some said they wanted to be part of the fishing party, but they felt called to furnish fishing equipment, though, instead. After one stirring meeting, entitled The Necessity for Fishing, one young fellow left the meeting and he went fishing. The next day, he reported that he caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch. He was scheduled to visit then all the big meetings and possible. Could you tell how you did that? And so he quit his fishing ministry in order to have time to tell the experience to the other fishermen of how he caught the two large fish. He was also placed on the fishermen's general board as a person having considerable experience with fishing because nobody else fished. Now, imagine the hurt when one day a person suggested that those who don't catch fish were really not fishermen. No matter how much they claimed to be, yet it did sound correct. Is a person a fisherman if year after year after year he never fishes? Now you know the answer. So you sitting here, you say, I'm a watchman, I'm a fisherman, I'm a fisher of men. So when have you gone fishing? Because if you haven't, you can talk it, you can have a placard, you can have all the things in your house, you can have verses all up and down your hallways that say, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into the fields. You can say all of that, but unless you are fishing, you're not a fisher of men. And unless you're on top of the tower calling out as a watchman, you are not a watchman. God help us to be fishers of men. Let me give you a couple ideas and we'll be done. I think there's four things. George gave you the A, B, C, D, and E's of soul winning. But let me give you a couple of thoughts as we close. If you're going to be a fisher of men, have a scheduled time to go soul winning. You'd say, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be active every second of every day. Yes, you are. And I'm supposed to be spirit-filled. I'm supposed to be filled with the knowledge of the Word of God. But guess what? I can say I am continually going to be filled with the Word of God, but if I don't schedule a time daily to do it, I will not do it. So, yes, I need to be in spiritual connection with God so that He can nudge my heart. But you will not make it a habit unless you schedule it. Most men sitting here, do you have a honey-do list? Oh, yeah, you do. You got a list of things at the house that need to be done. But unless you put time in your calendar to do the honey-do list, the honey-do, all right, it only tastes good as a melon, all right, because that's all it is to you. All right, it's like, yeah, I love honey-do. Honey-do melons. I love that. No, wait, the list. What are you talking about? Because guess what? Unless you schedule it, it's not going to get done. Have a scheduled time. Secondly, bring folks to your church. That's why right down front, I did this this week. I put tracks down here. I have flyers for the fall campaign. I have them in the back. I have them down at the front desk. Grab some. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Invite them to church then. Get a track in their hand. Start doing something. Because doing nothing is not being a fisher of men. Doing nothing is not being a watchman. Be a watchman for God. Have tracks with you. Have tracks with you. We try to have tracks everywhere. On the property. And then I always try to have tracks in my pocket. Why? I'm always trying to have tracks. Because you never know. You never know. I can remember we were down, we had a bus trip down to St. John. And Sharon Edwards was laughing because we were on a boat. A few of us had been on a boat and it had a captain. And we were coming back in and he was talking about how he loved sailing, how he just loved it. It was his joy. And I was getting a tip together and I zipped open my backpack, and I usually always have my backpack with you. And in my backpack, I had Dave Olson's Amazing Grace track. And I thought, wait, he was a sailor. He was a captain. And so when I put in my tip and I slid it there and I said, hey, you know what? You were talking about loving being a captain, being a sailor. There's a guy in our church who wrote this track about John Newton. You know the song Amazing Grace? Believe it or not, he was a sailor. He was a bad dude, but he found Christ. Well, he just told me he loved sailing. Love being a captain. It was kind of hard to say no, wasn't it? Always have tracks with you. Always. You never know. Have tracks and be in prayer. Every morning. Every morning when you get up, or let's say you're going to sleep at night. God, tomorrow, make me sensitive as a watchman. Help me to be out there. And Lord, make me sound the trumpet. Make me sound the trumpet for God's glory. Because you have the gospel. You know the answer. You know the solution. Bring them to Jesus Christ. The enemy, oh, he's aware. The enemy, he's awake. The enemy, he's encroaching upon these folks, and you don't know how long they have. Be a watchman for Jesus Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. As I mentioned, are you being a good watchman? This morning, God may have convicted you in some area. God may have nudged your heart and said, you're not being a good watchman. Are you being the watchman you should be? This is folks that are saved. Are you out there sharing Christ? You say, you know, I don't know what to do. Well, you can grab a tract. You can invite them to church. Are you doing that? Are you satisfied with the people around you and dying to go to hell? What did God tell Ezekiel? If you don't tell them, the blood will be on your hands. Are you comfortable with that? Are you comfortable with standing before God and your friends and your relatives and your coworkers are going to be in hell and you say, well, it was hard. No. You will be responsible. This morning, You may say, God convicted me in this area of being a watchman, of being a soul winner. God convicted me. He touched my heart. There's somebody that I know maybe over the next few weeks that I either need to witness to or I need to try to get to church. God convicted me of that. If God convicted you, would you slip up your hand? Is there anybody like that? All right, thank you. All right, anybody else? I see it. Yep. Anybody else? All right, thank you. Anybody else? I see it. All right. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. There was a lot of you that slipped up your hand. Anybody else? You'd say, God convicted me in this area of soul winning. All right, thank you. All right, I see it. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. All right. God convicted you. You say, all right, thank you. Say, I'm not bringing folks to Christ. I'm not being the watchman that I should be. All right, thank you. And there's folks that I need to talk to, whether it's talking to them about Jesus Christ, myself, maybe trying to get a Gospel of John, trying to get a track and sitting down with my Bible. And as Brother Kriego mentioned, you know what? It has to be believable. You can't be sitting there with you can't be living like the devil and telling them that they need to come to Christ because they're going to laugh at you. Maybe that's what's holding you back. Say, God convicted me in this area. Is there anybody else before we close? All right, thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for those that raise their hands. Lord, you dealt with them in this area of being a watchman. I pray that you would deal with their hearts. Lord, help them to be bold this week in inviting others out. Lord, to church, talking to them about Christ. Maybe they just found Christ over the last couple months. Well, I pray that they would just share their testimony of how Jesus saved them. Thank you for what you do at the Invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed. If God dealt with your heart, and you need to come and pray, as the piano and organ play, you come. The Invitation is a time where many times we just come down and we just ask God to solidify that decision. If God dealt with you in that area of handing tracts out, maybe being a better testimony, then come down. Pray at the altar. Ask God to solidify it. There's men down here. If you need someone to talk to as the piano and organ play, you come.